Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there, the Joe Pags Show, also on live video stream at joepags.com on a Thursday. Feeling all right? Uh-huh. Say what?
Seems I got to have...
That is Carrie Lockie. Carrie, what's going on?
Hello. How you doing?
Every night.
Tell me how it's 5 o'clock already. I'd like to know that.
Really?
Imprisoned by the way.
Really? You know, I'm working up until the minute the show starts. That's how I know.
Okay.
By the way, I thought about a Pags parody, Jussie's World or something. And I mentioned last week I would try to do that, but there's way too much background singing to this karaoke version, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to do that. Yeah, I know you hate that. Everybody, weekend's almost here.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
No. Wow. Mm. I had to work that out.
Yes, sir. Feeling all right.
Exactly right.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
No. Wow.
Woo-wee.
Getting her done, making it happen. Glad to have you along for the ride. As far as we know, Jussie Smollett is still in police custody, isn't he?
No, he left the courthouse.
Oh, did he get out?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
It was like a $100,000 bond, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm, it was. Guy made $100,000 an episode of Empire, apparently. So,
The word I got was $65,000. Some are saying $70,000. But I guess his pay for the entire season was almost $1.2 million. And the reason he allegedly did this is because he wasn't happy with his salary. Come on, man. Go on, dude. So obviously you're all over this all day. You have been all day.
Oh, yeah.
And we want the full story. Listen, this is much bigger than Jussie Smollett that nobody ever heard of before. This is much bigger than some Hollywood actor who just wanted to be noticed. It's much bigger than him complaining about his salary. This was about attempting to prove once again that this somehow is a racist country and somehow is a homophobic country. This somehow is a country that does not accept gay black men who act on TV shows or something. Now, I'm sure you're going to hear something about rehab. I'm sure you're going to hear something about he needs therapy. I'm sure you're going to hear something about he was abused when he was a kid or something. But this thing has all come to fruition. This thing has come full circle today with him going in and turning himself in. Carrie, please give us the story.
From Fox News, the judge who set Empire star Jussie Smollett's bond at $100,000 gave the actor an earful after Smollett was charged Thursday with disorderly conduct for allegedly filing a false police report. As you stand before me, we presume you're innocent, but the state read me a proffer that is outrageous. If true, the news conjures up the greatest evil in this country. Cook County Judge John Fitzgerald Like Jr. told Smollett. The 36-year-old actor said little other than giving his name at the beginning of Thursday's hearing. His attorney, who said the actor denies all charges against him, asked the judge to release Smollett on his own recognizance. However, the judge said that would be inappropriate. Smollett was later released from jail after posting bond. Following 3 weeks of mounting suspicion, Smollett, who's accused of filing a false police report, was charged Wednesday with felony disorderly conduct. He turned himself in at central booking early Thursday, and if convicted, he's facing up to 3 years in prison. Smollett told police he was attacked by two masked men as he was walking home from a Subway sandwich shop at around 2 a.m. on January 29th. And the actor, who is black and gay, said the masked men beat him, made derogatory comments, and yelled, "This is MAGA country," a reference to President Donald Trump's campaign slogan, "Make America Great Again," before fleeing. Prosecutors said at the actor's bond hearing Thursday, Smollett misled police and the public to believe his attackers were white when he told police his primary attacker was wearing a ski mask that only exposed the area around his eyes, but that he could see the man had white skin. And police said Smollett actually hired two black men to help him carry out the hoax. According to prosecutors, Smollett told the two brothers he hired to attack him to yell MAGA country and put a rope around his neck during the staged attack. He instructed them to get his attention by yelling Empire F and Empire in and instructed them to give him a chance to appear to fight back. Assistant State's Attorney Risa Lanier said. Lanier said he provided them with $100 to purchase a red hat, masks, and gloves. Chicago cops laid out their case against Smollett Thursday morning, accusing the TV star of orchestrating an elaborate hoax involving two bogus hate crimes, one involving an alleged attack and one involving a threatening letter, all in order to get a pay raise. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said Smollett orchestrated a phony attack in order to take advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career. And Johnson said at the news conference Thursday, Smollett also sent a racist and homophobic threatening letter to himself at the Fox studio a lot before the attack because he was dissatisfied with his salary. I'm left hanging my head and asking why. A visibly upset Johnson told reporters, why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations? How could someone look at the hatred and suffering associated with that symbol? How could an individual who's been embraced by the city of Chicago turn around and slap everyone in this city by making this false claim?
Yeah, Johnson was fantastic today. And he's right. Is racism gone in America? No. Is there no bigotry against gays in America? Well, no, there isn't no bigotry. There's some. Are we a country that has come a long way? And are we head and shoulders and leaps and bounds beyond many countries around planet Earth when it comes to bigotry and acceptance? I was thinking about it yesterday, and I'm watching television, and whatever show I'm watching, I become hyper aware of the race, the ethnicity, the gender of people in different roles. Like, many times in this day and age, you will see the doctor on the TV show or on the commercial is a black person or a woman or is somebody of color other than a white man. Many, unless the doctor's an idiot. Like, there's one commercial where it's like, ah, is okay, okay. And I don't even remember what commercial this is for. The doctor comes in and says, okay, yeah, you nervous? And the guy who's going to get an operation says, well, yes. He says, yeah, me too. I hope it goes okay in there. And he walks away. And if the person's an idiot, it's going to be a white man. But if the person is the professional that you turn to, whether it's your tax person or your doctor or the manager at the place or the chief FBI agent or the CIA director, generally speaking, it'll be a woman, it'll be a gay person, it'll be somebody who is ethnic in some way other than just a white American man. The reason why I bring this up is, if I were to say, hey, Carrie, do me a favor and show me five people that would be representative of Saudi Arabia, they all ethnically and racially would look pretty similar, right?
Yes.
Or if I said, show me five people that would be representative of Nigeria, they would be, generally speaking, ethnically and racially similar. There's really no argument, right?
Mm-hmm.
Show me five people from Ireland. Generally speaking, all going to be about the same ethnic and racial look and feel and sound. Now show me five people from the United States of America. You're going to get five potentially very different looking people, different sounding people, different coarseness of hair or tone of skin or whatever. And that's a wonderful thing about the United States. Now, if you were taking a true picture of the United States, and let's say I said take seven people, or 10 people and show me what America looks like, about 6.5 or 7 of them should be white people. And then you've got the other 3.5, 4%, whatever, or 3 or 3.5%, that would be every other thing you could possibly imagine. Whereas in every other country, it's not like that. So how is it if we're so racist and so bigoted and so homophobic and so horrible and we stole the land and we killed the people and we with the women and with the blacks and the slavery. If we have this horrible, disgusting place, why is it that we are so representative of such diversity? The reason why is, A, the Democrat Party that wanted to wipe out everybody but white people back in the day, they were defeated in the Civil War. B, we have a constitution that we truly believe applies to everybody. And C, because we're a Judeo-Christian-based country. Our laws are based on Judeo-Christian principles. You could argue that till your face turns blue. It's true. We're based on love thy neighbor as thyself. Treat others as you would have them treat you. Our laws are based on the Ten Commandments, on the Magna Carta, and on other good things that are, generally speaking, positive and enlightening and good. Whereas other countries have very stifling laws that they'll kill you if you this, and if you're a gay person, you get hanged, or if you're a woman who speaks out, or if you get raped and you don't have proof that it was rape, you might be stoned to death because it was adultery. I mean, you got all this other crap going on in the world, yet for some reason, people want to continue representing us as the racist, horrible, down-low, didn't-deserve-to-be-formed country. And I'm telling you, this guy is the epitome of that. Now, Kerry, do you believe that he did this to try to get a pay raise? He's making, I saw reports of $65,000 an episode. You've seen $100,000 an episode.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's making millions of dollars to pretend he's somebody he's not, to live the high life. He's got loads of money. He is living a life as a young man that many people would love to live. Do you believe this is about his salary?
I don't know. I know that's what police said today.
I don't. I believe Jussie Smollett did this in order to perpetrate the idea that people who like this president or appreciate what he's doing or who want to make America great are bad, are racist, are bigoted. They're no good. I don't believe at whatever age he is, young, happening, good-looking, talented guy making that kind of money was really just trying to get some more money. I think that's an excuse that's being used to try to separate him from the Kamala Harris's out there who can't remember the tweet she sent, or the Cory Booker's out there who says, yeah, but we're still a racist country, even if that's not true. Or from Ellen, who hasn't said anything, or Ellen Page, Juno, for God's sakes, who hasn't retracted anything she's said. Robin Roberts is doing interviews now about how hurtful this will be toward people who really are attacked because they're gay or because they're black. But she, I don't remember her ever saying, I probably jumped the gun by telling you you should believe him or that he should be believed. I don't think it was about money. I don't think it was about salary. I don't think it was about his position. Now, if he were being written out, and Paula, maybe you know more about this, but that story has come and gone, and then it's come back again. If he were getting written out, now I kind of understand why he wanted the attention. You can't fire the victim. Do we know, is there a latest report on that? Because Fox said there's no way we're writing him out. We never were.
I haven't seen anything. The only thing that I've seen, and it was kind of what you were saying in the beginning, is I guess when he was talking to the cops today, or during his arrest, he mentioned that he had a drug problem and one that he's never treated.
There we go.
Yeah.
This is what we said from day one, rehab.
And
he's going to go to rehab, and suddenly he'll save his career somehow.
Yeah, and I guess because in some of the evidence that they've found, I guess the brothers were selling him ecstasy. So that's where I guess he's trying to tie some of that stuff in. Yeah.
Come on, man. So, look, this was a crime because he hates Trump. Hates Republicans, hates conservatism, hates the country in its current form. Now, I don't know what he wants the country to look like, but he wanted it to look again like Donald Trump somehow incited this against him. And it turns out the police believe, and there's little argument from anybody at this point, that he just made it up. And it could have been for attention, maybe to not get written out of the show, or maybe because he hates Donald Trump and has shown hatred for him since 2012, for God's sakes. Not just since the election in 2016. And yes, there are famous pictures of him with that assistant district attorney who stepped down and recused herself. There are pictures with him and Kamala Harris. There are pictures with him and Maxine Waters. Not surprisingly. And one of the first so-called civil rights activists out there, and I say so-called because he's just a con artist, Al Sharpton. He was out there ahead of everybody saying he should be held accountable if he's making it up. I found that to be interesting. Kerry, did you know, you find that to be interesting that was him?
I did. He seemed to be the only one at the time.
Because there's a show on a TLC or A&E or something about Tawana Brawley in that entire case. And there's fat-ass Al Sharpton back in his fat days with the just every 2 seconds his mouth was on television saying something horrible about somebody other than black people, saying, I 100% unequivocally believe Tawana Brawley. So maybe he learned a lesson back then.
Maybe so.
Maybe, just maybe. 888-941-PAGS. Here's the question. He was in jail. He was behind bars for much of the day. He's been taken out now by posting $100,000 bond, for God's sakes. What should the punishment be for this crime? Again, there's little doubt now in anybody's mind, although something crazy could happen tomorrow, that he perpetrated this himself. What should the punishment be? And does this story go a long way to prove that there still is a lot of animosity in this country? Or does this go a long way to prove that the only real hate crimes we're hearing about lately, and I'm going to have a guest on later, his name is Professor Wilfred Riley. He's the guy who teaches at Kentucky State University. He's written a book about hoax hate crimes and why he believes the left thinks they're necessary. We'll have that for you. But what should the punishment be? And will this bring us together more as Americans when we say, okay, so there aren't just redneck racists running around putting nooses on people's necks in Chicago in the middle of the night? Okay. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
setting a reminder before you forget.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Is as easy as that.
Great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Thanks for stopping by. There is a lot going on. Of course, we'll spend some time in Jussie Smollett. He's the guy who I was skeptical of from day one. And it's not because I'm the smartest guy out there, shush. It's because I... What? Why'd you make a face?
You know why I made a face.
You made a face because...
I was agreeing with you. I'm not the smartest guy.
Yeah, well, it's funny when you do agree with me. It's funny.
You're right about this one.
Exactly right. Yes. So, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. I was skeptical from day one, and I told you why. I'm not just a glass half full guy, and I'm not just a pro-America guy. I'm a pro-America guy because there's good reason to be. And I did not believe, and I was skeptical from day one, that in 2019 America, 2019 Chicago, Illinois, in an upper class part of the area, part of the city, there are rednecks walking around with bleach and nooses yelling MAGA at people like Jussie Smollett. I don't believe that happens in our country in this day and age. That's why I was skeptical. And the details didn't make sense. Bleach freezes at 18 degrees above zero. With the windshield, it was 11 below zero. With the actual temperature, it was 9 above zero. That bleach would have been frozen. I don't see people carrying nooses around looking for an opportunity. It just doesn't happen. And you'll find out later from Dr. Riley, who wrote the book about fake hoaxes. Going to come out next week. You got to make sure you go pre-order it now. What I got from him was... It's the same thing we got from David Clark the other day, the sheriff from Milwaukee County. We love Sheriff Clark. He said if a noose is involved, it's probably fake because it just doesn't happen. That symbolism is something that the left thinks is somehow going to prove their case. It's a very interesting story. Question is very simple. What should the punishment be? What should happen to this guy now? And Paulo, do me a favor and check your sources, but I don't think he's been fired from Fox yet.
No, they had said that they're, I guess, reassessing things.
Well, I would think they should reassess things, but I sent out a tweet yesterday, which has gone nuts. It's gone a bit viral. It's just about 15,000 likes. Just so I understand, at Real Roseanne makes one ill-advised tweet, loses her life's work immediately. Jussie Smollett now exposed by the Chicago PD as the suspect behind an orchestrated hoax and still has a job on Empire. Do I have that right, Fox TV? I mean, people went nuts for that because it really is. It's a very logical question. What is it going to take for Fox to separate itself from Jussie Smollett? It's not really a difficult question. Let me go to line two. Joshua, unfortunately, less than a minute. Make it happen. Let's go.
Hey, good show, Joe.
Thank you.
So you should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. No special favors for celebrity status or otherwise. however, with, how to say, does he know... Senator Kamala Harris?
Yes, there are pictures of them together at some sort of a get-together. Yeah, there's a picture of them at some get-together, which is interesting to me. I don't know what the relationship is, but she's not talking about it.
Well, she recently hosted that anti-lynching bill.
Right.
This would have played right in and overshadowed Cory Booker.
Exactly right.
Presidency on the first.
I got to run, Joshua. I appreciate you. Very good point. I brought that up earlier. Keep it here. Much more to come.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Barry Show.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. The Joe Pags Show, also on the live video stream at joepags.com. Hours 2 and 3 will both be on Newsmax TV tonight, so if you're watching the live stream, you will see the video on television on Newsmax TV for hours 2 and 3. 1 hour from now, it'll be Dr. Wilfred Riley. He has written a book about hoaxes. Hey, Gary, the timing was just what the timing was.
I guess so, right?
I was like how do you have this book? And it turns out he already had it in the works. And now with this going on, I think it's the number... He said it's the number one book written by African-Americans or something.
Wow, okay.
And I, like, burst out laughing. I'm like, why does that matter what race you are? And I said, is there an Italian writer? He said, I think there actually is. Mm-hmm. So, well, there shouldn't be. That's stupid. But he's a really good guy. We had a really great conversation. 1 hour from now, you'll see it and you'll hear it. Hate Crime Hoax. It's the name of the book, Hate Crime Hoax, colon, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War. Carrie, how applicable is that? How lucky is this guy that he wrote that book?
I'm telling you, I know.
With this news happening.
Perfect timing, wasn't it?
Yep. It's like somebody would have just got to get really rich because he's going to sell a lot of books.
No doubt.
But it's a really great conversation. He's a former athlete. He's a guy who's center right, and he's sick and tired of the idea that we somehow are a racist country. And what's interesting is the left never says how we solve the racism problem. You ever notice that? They never say, here's how you solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
No, they just need the problem to exist. Because if the problem exists, then you can complain about it, raise money about it, and act like it's happening to you. If it doesn't exist, then you know, places like CARE and the Rainbow Coalition, all these places, they just go away. So they actually need it to exist. I'm going to lean back a second, because this kind of, you know, I'm a technology guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've got 5 computers in front of me right now. I've got an HD video camera. I've got lights. I've got all the rack mounts of stuff that I put together myself. I'm proud of it. I like doing it. It's interesting to me. But I've often thought to myself, why are there viruses on our computers? And then I thought to myself, well, thank God we've got antivirus. Now, I'm not suggesting that antivirus companies are behind making viruses, or would it be viri? But virus. If all the viruses went away, would you need an antivirus?
No.
Kind of see where I'm going? If all the racism disappeared tomorrow, what do these racist groups do?
Nothing to complain about.
I mean, why is there still an NAACP? And why is it still called that? Shouldn't somebody at the NAACP change the name of it? The National Organization, or the, what is it, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. I mean, I remember my third grade teacher, Miss Wilson, happened to be black, loved her. She didn't want to pass me at the end of the year, she said, because I give two good shoulder massages. I would go behind her and give her a massage in her shoulders, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that there was some girl, I don't know, yelled at me or beat me up or something when I was just like 10, or not even 10. In third grade, were you 8? So something like that?
Yeah, 8, 9.
Right. So, and she probably liked me, but I was too dumb and naive to realize that she liked me. So I went to Miss Wilson, who I loved, and I said, you know, the girls are being mean to me. She said, what girls? I said, the colored girls. And she said, well, what color are they? And I went, I don't know, brown? So she really opened my eyes to the fact that using a generalized term like colored could be taken the wrong way. And in the 1970s, which is when I'm talking about, it was already being pushed out. Carrie, why is that group still called the NAACP?
I don't know.
Did they not know that Miss Wilson got rid of that, like, in 1974?
I probably don't.
Maybe they should talk to Miss Wilson. I'd like to find Miss Wilson, see how she's doing today. I found her to be one of my mentors growing up. She was great. And the whole idea that you need racism to continue these anti-race organizations is really true. Now, when it comes to viruses, I'm not going to call out the antivirus companies, because there really are viruses. But there have been suggestions throughout the years of technology that the antivirus companies don't mind. I mean, think about it. Why do I need them if there aren't any viruses? Why do I need the NAACP or CARE or the Rainbow Coalition or fill-in-the-blank anti-racism, anti-homophobia organization if none of that exists? But I think this guy just, honestly, I think that he just jumped the shark in such a manner that people will now be skeptical of every report of this, which is actually a problem because there are real reports of racism. And whether it's against black people or against whites, against Hispanics, against whoever, there are all real reports of anti-gay bigotry. And those now will be questioned even more because of what this guy just pulled. You agree with that?
I would agree, yes.
Yeah. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome. I appreciate you stopping by to line 4 is Michael in Tulsa. Michael, what's going on?
Joe, great job. Just wanted to point out, as you've said, that you were right on the money from the start. You questioned this.
Yeah.
And I had called in on the road, so I was in and out of reception and pointed out that this had actually happened several years ago. I told your call screener, of course, that several years ago there was a Muslim woman who had a very bad slashed her face, and it was all put on. I mean, she slashed her own face.
Yeah.
And so I just figured it was a deal like that. But what is mainly going on here, Joe, is an intent to incite a riot. I think Smollett ought to be charged with attempting to incite a riot. And all of the people, Pelosi, Schumer, Sharpton, Kamala Harris, are in trying to inflame that. So actually, they're accessories to an attempt inside a riot with the divisiveness that we have in our nation and the hatred that we have against President Trump on the part of many people on the left.
Let me interject this. No, Michael, I hear you, but let me interject this. I don't think there's such a charge as attempting to incite a riot. Now, had there been a riot in Chicago, had Black Lives Matter showed up and started beating people up and attacking, or Antifa or somebody shows up, now you've got a case. But the attempt to start a riot, I don't think that's going to be a charge anywhere, but I do see where you're coming from.
No, and I appreciate it. And one other thing, Joe, if somebody on the right, not necessarily a radical, but just somebody on the right, had done this, it could even be qualified as like a hate crime. I mean, the intent was to bring animosity against people on the right.
Agreed.
And so if somebody had done this with regard to let's say a guy on the right, white guy on the right, tries to get animosity against a black person or a person who's homosexual, well, the reverse is true here.
Yeah.
The intent was to bring animosity against white people and straight people.
Michael, I hear you. I think you make good points, but I'm going to stay consistent. I appreciate you, Michael. Thank you. I'm going to stay consistent on hate crime legislation. I've said this from day one. I don't understand why we're adding the word hate to crimes. I don't understand it. And it's not that I don't legitimately comprehend. I do, but I don't understand how that makes sense to anybody. If somebody kills another out of malice, that's a hate crime to me. Now, if you say, yeah, but not only did he kill him out of malice just because he's a bad guy, he also killed him because he's black, because he's white, because he's gay, because he's fill in the blank. How is that a different charge? Guy's just as dead. The crime is just as hateful. How exactly is it that we are somehow making the judicial system better by saying, all right, if I go and kill a white person who's of the same ethnic background, he's also Italian, that's not a hate crime. But if I go and kill somebody who happens to be a different race than I am, or a different gender or different sexual orientation, that is a hate crime. How does that make people sleep better at night? Because the guy's just as dead, or the drug buyer is just as dead, or the bank robbery is just as robbed, or I don't get it. The reason I thought sentencing was, Kerry, correct me if I'm wrong here, I thought sentencing, when it came to those who commit crimes, was about punishment.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I would, yeah.
Time to rehabilitate.
Yes.
And in accordance to the seriousness and severity of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
But I also am a strong believer, and I wonder if you agree, that the punishment is also meant to be a deterrent to stop you from doing it.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, yeah.
Because like we can't quantify how many people have thought about killing someone else, but in Texas said, I'm not going to do it because in Texas they will shoot your ass, or they will inject you or whatever.
Yeah. You will die.
We can't quantify that. We don't know the answer to that. It could be very effective. Who knows? By the way, there are some people who say, studies have been done, and people who are in prison say that wouldn't have made a difference. Well, they're alive. Talk to the people that didn't kill somebody because they were afraid to be put to death. They're in jail already. They did it. Find me the people who didn't. Well, how do you do that? You don't. That's why I say you can't quantify it. But having said that, I do believe that punishments are supposed to be a deterrent. So there's a bad guy. Let me sit back again because I'm feeling like I just want to get comfortable. Hold on. So there's a bad guy out there, Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
Bad guy's thinking about killing somebody just for the hell of it.
Okay.
And is that bad guy going to stop and think to himself, if that guy's gay, I might be in more trouble?
No.
Or is a bad guy going to say, that guy's black, I might be in more trouble if I shoot him? Or is the bad guy going to say, I was going to shoot or maim or kill or rob that person because they're fill in the blank. But because they're filling the blank, the hate crime legislation passed says that I probably would face more. Is that happening?
I think the bad guys are thinking that.
So what is the hate crime legislation, the hate crime punishments, who is that actually making feel better? LGBTQ organizations? So-called civil rights organizations? It's not changing the intent of the bad guy. Bad guy going to be the bad guy. We have bad people in our society. Generally speaking, the vast majority of us are good, very good. But there are some bad people out there who are not considering, I better not do that really dastardly horrible thing because of that hate crime legislation that was supported by fill-in-the-blank politician. That's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to be consistent. I don't think Jesse Smollett should be charged with something extra because of the racial and sexual orientation pieces of this case, just as I don't think there should be different sentencing or different judicial balance or mechanisms in place for something we tend to call a hate crime. That does, adding the word hate doesn't change anything for me. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS. Obviously, talking about Jussie Smollett. The guy turned himself in today. Got out on... They wanted to be released on his own recognizance. No. Got out on $100,000. I don't know if it was a bond or bail or $10,000 to get out. Or you, normally it's 10% of whatever the bail is that's being asked for the bond. I'm not an expert on bond and bail. Carrie, I'm glad not to be, to be honest with you.
Me too. Yeah. I don't know anything about that stuff.
I'm not sure how much he gave. But I got to tell you this. It's Bacon Sandwich that he's saying he did it because his salary was too low. Sorry, salary isn't low. $65,000 an episode at the low end. Carrie's heard as much as $100,000 per episode, making well over $1 million a season. To do a TV show and act like somebody you're not. And that wasn't enough. Now, from what I understand, Terrence Howard and who is the other star, Polo? The woman, very pretty.
Taraji B. Henson.
Exactly, right. Taraji B. Henson. I believe they're both making over $100,000 a year. It's like $125,000 a year or an episode. But they're the stars. All the co-stars from the story that I read in Variety, which, by the way, carried my tweet. Yes, Carrie, I was in Variety.
Ew, look at you.
You look like you were asking.
Just
yeah.
Special.
Listen, I'm okay. right there at the Hollywood sect. From what I understand, the other co-stars who are in roles like his are making what he's making. Did he think he should make what the stars made? Or was this really about being written out? Or maybe, just maybe, as I look at another picture of Jussie Smollett with Michelle Obama. There's one with him at some rally with Kamala Harris. There's one with him with the president and former first lady, Michelle Obama. There's another one with him and Maxine Waters. Another one with him and Sheila Jackson Lee. Maybe, just maybe, this was about politics. Maybe, just maybe, this was about Make America Great Again. Maybe, just maybe, this was about President Donald Trump. And maybe, just maybe, we should stop the BS about the salary. Now, if he's making $5,000 a show and everybody else is making, you know, five figures, six figures per show, now I'll hear you. But I think he was doing pretty good. Carrie, would you take that much per show?
I would, yes. Sounds good.
I will
just
say...
about what you make here, isn't it?
A little under, but yeah, not bad.
What, Paula?
I will say that he has, in the past few seasons, become a bigger part of the show. You know, and okay. I mean, he does the majority of the singing on the show. So, right. I mean, I could see him wanting to ask for more. You know, compared to maybe some of the
other... We all ask for more, but right. I don't think that we fake a hate crime.
No, absolutely not. But I'm just saying, I mean, Taraji P. Henson and Terrence Howard, they've done movies and everything else. So,
right.
I mean, they've won awards.
They're huge draws. They're huge stars.
Right, right. So, I mean, maybe he felt that he was either getting close to or maybe just below them, you know, and he felt like he should be at that tier as opposed to the tier with everybody else.
Yeah, so, yeah. I like the he's on drugs excuse better, because this one just doesn't make sense. I mean, that's more money per episode. He makes more money than most Americans make in a year.
He makes double the annual salary
of the average American.
And he did say that, I mean, according to the documents, they're saying that he did not say he had any alcohol or mental health problems. So yeah, I guess it's going to be the drug issue. I guess that's where... If he's going to try to go with anything.
We're going to definitely keep an eye on it because the whole thing makes me nuts. All right, let me tell you about ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is a virtual private network which protects you when you're online. And the protection is that it hides your internet protocol address, your IP. It does not allow your internet service provider, your ISP, to basically spy on you. Doesn't let them do that. It tells the ISP, yeah, no, that's not okay with me. And it anonymizes where you go. So even the websites don't have any clue where it is that you're surfing. And they should. Let's be honest about it. They should not have any idea what it is that you're doing online. I mean, why would they? Well, they do, and they have it without you even knowing it. So get ExpressVPN. They've got a special deal right now. It's less than $7 a month. If you go to expressvpn.com/pags, expressvpn.com/pags, go there and sign up for a year. You get 3 months free. That's how cool this deal is. And you can only do it by going to expressvpn.com/PAGS because you listen to my program. All right, glad to have you along for the ride. We do appreciate you. Let me continue and see what's happening on the phone lines. We've got a lot of people who want to be heard and just not a whole lot of time remaining in this hour. You're going to have to make it super fast if I can even get you in there. Yeah, give you about a minute. Lynn, talk to me in Minnesota.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Joe.
You bet.
Yep, I couldn't agree with you more. What is a hate crime anyway? I kind of go for equal justice and treatment under the law.
Yeah.
Does a hate crime give discretionary treatment, you know, a prowess to the courts? Do they get to decide a special treatment if it's a hate crime? And who decides if it's a hate crime? No, I think equal treatment under the law. He should get the same treatment anyone else does that files a false report.
Exactly right. Could not agree with you more. A hate crime is decided by the prosecutor. Prosecutor decides, the DA decides, am I going to add the tag hate crime to this? And whereas this crime would have been punishable by up to this, it'll be punishable by up to something even more because we put the word hate on it. It's a feel-good addition to the criminal justice system that doesn't honestly make any sense for the reasons I already gave. 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Hour number two on the way. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also Newsmax TV, glad to have you here. It's the Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Thursday. Feeling all right. Say what?
Seems I got to have a change.
What's going on, Carrie?
Good. How's it going?
Every night I have.
You know, I've got Dr. Wilfred Riley at the bottom of the hour. He's written a book about hate crimes and the hoaxes that that many of them are. So I will have him at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to continue talking about Smollett for a little longer then. It only makes sense because we're going into his book about hoaxes revolving around race and intersectionality and so on. Does it make sense? That makes sense, right?
Well, sure it does. What am I talking about?
But I think people should sing along, though. Here we go. Exactly right.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
You know, Kamala Harris has come out and said something about Smollett finally.
Yes, sir. Feeling all right.
And I've got it for you.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
Wow. I'm a little below the note, but it sounded kind of bluesy. I think it sounded bluesy. What do you think?
No.
A little bluesy?
Did not sound good at all, really.
A little bluesy? You felt bluesy on that? A little bluesy?
Sure.
Exactly. Sam bluesy? No. We were bluesy on that,
very
weren't
bluesy.
We?
Oh, yeah. I was singing too.
A lot of bluesiness. All right, so here's a programming note. Carrie, I definitely want your opinion on this because I find this to be weird. And I'm still not sure that he's going to show up. But tomorrow, I've got former Senator Humphreys, Gordon Humphrey. Actually, one part, this guy who pitched him calls him Humphreys. The other part, they call him Humphrey. Sam, is it Humphreys or Humphrey?
Straight. I thought it was Humphreys.
Read it. There are two different ways that this guy spells the guy's name that he's pitching for the show. One says U.S. Senator, former Republican U.S. Senator from New Hampshire, Gordon Humphrey. Later, he says Senator Humphreys, you know, R-E-S, is also actively working to pass legislation, Babadu. So here's what this guy wants to do. Hey, say, let me know what his name is. I think it's Humphrey. I think it's Humphreys. The guy pitching him should know that. Just going to put it out there. But the guy who's pitching him is from an organization called Need to Impeach.
It is Humphrey.
All right, so there's no Humphreys. It's Humphrey. Okay.
No, it's just Humphrey. Yeah.
But you do see where his own pitch man writes it, Humphreys, yes. Later. Okay. I'm just putting it out there. So this guy has written an op-ed. He's a former Republican U.S. Senator from New Hampshire. In the op-ed, he lays out the case for why Donald Trump should be impeached.
Mm-hmm.
They pitched this to me, and I said, well, hell yeah. I think that'd be fun. Now, am I supposed to feel bad for this guy tomorrow when he gets what he's going to get from me?
No. No.
Or should his buddy, who doesn't know how to spell his name, maybe should he have looked into who it is that he's pitching first?
The company who's pitching him. I mean, come on now. Nah.
Carrie, my cover photo on Twitter is me interviewing President Trump.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a good one tomorrow.
I'm looking over here for Newsmax. I'm going to try to put it up there for you so you can see my cover photo. I mean, I'm not trying to hide. You know,
no.
There you go.
All I got to do is Google you, and they're going to know who you are and what kind of show this is.
Me sitting across from the president in the green room at the White House interviewing him. And they think that I'm going to be on his side to impeach the guy? This is not going to be good for Senator Humphrey or Humphreys.
No, not at all.
Maybe after a big meal, he's plural Humphreys.
Once the interview starts, he'll hang up, he'll lose connection, something
will
happen. I don't
know. It's
going to
be Skype. We're going to actually see the guy.
Oh, wow. That'll be even better.
You watch Newsmax, stick around tomorrow. You're going to see a guy who's going to go, how did he get a hold of you? You know what I mean? Oh, he's got all sorts of reasons. The emoluments clause and for the firing of Comey and obstruction of justice and Russia collusion and just down the list. And it sounds like he's got to be somehow connected to Tom Steyer, who is this billionaire who just hates Trump. I don't know why he hates Trump, but he's the one out there pushing this impeachment movement. So I'll find out tomorrow. And again, listen, if he wants to do it, we can have a nice, valid, above-board debate. Or if he thinks that he's getting somebody who agrees with him, I think he should probably fire his PR firm and find people that can actually find, you know, an outlet that'll get along with him. All right, Jussie Smollett turned himself in today, and he did so, what was it, this morning?
Yes.
And was in there for a long time, and then several hours later, he was let go on $100,000 bail, bond, whatever the hell it is. I don't know if he had to get $10,000 bond to get out on the bail, and the bail with the bond. I don't know, but he got out. His lawyers thought he should be on his own recognizance, which is stupid because of this ridiculous allegation that he made that has been, according to police, proven wrong and false and a hoax. So we talked about it last hour that Kamala Harris hadn't said anything. He still has not lost the support, as far as I can tell, by reading up and poll. If you see something different, let me know. He hasn't been let go from Fox. Yeah, we heard a few days ago we're going to write him out. They weren't going to write him out. We were never going to write him out. We fully support him. We support him. Today, the only thing that I've seen is that they're looking into it. Now, Carrie, what do they have to look into?
I'm not sure because Chicago PD laid it all out today in their news conference. So,
how are we looking into? I don't know what there is to look into. I mean, it's all out there. It's all been laid out. He's now been charged with a crime. And again, the reason why the one tweet that I made has 15,000 likes so far is because there's a very clear example. Roseanne Barr is the show Roseanne. Those characters were made by her and a few others who also executive produced with her. And that show only existed. And those people are only known to us. And they're only rich actors now because of Roseanne. She makes one tweet that was a dumb tweet that she shouldn't have sent out. Her career ended abruptly. It was the number one show on ABC. Over. And because she loves the cast members, she actually signed over the rights to the names of the characters in the show. That's it. Done. Have a nice day. This guy still has support of his network. Still has a job there. And he's literally been charged with a crime now, a felony. Carrie, I might have dozed off because I do that sometimes. Was Roseanne charged with anything? Did she commit a crime?
No.
What?
Nope.
Shut up. What did she do? She did something horrible.
She was not charged with anything.
She wrote some words on a website? Is that really?
Yeah.
Okay. So Senator Kamala Harris, who thinks she's going to be your next president, who Willie Brown has now said he slept with her or something, and then he made sure that she got, you know, better positions at whatever job she wanted in the judicial system. She thinks she's going to be our next president. The same lady who was wondering if the president or Jeff Sessions should walk off of an elevator with her, alive or dead, on Ellen. This woman almost immediately said, this is an attempted modern-day lynching. Cory Booker said an attempted modern-day lynching. Now, yesterday, Cory Booker did what we knew he would do by saying, we're looking into it, not really sure. He didn't say he would apologize about saying that. But the fact is, there's a lot of hate going on and a lot of hate crimes that are happening, and there's a big increase. And nobody who came out immediately and supported this idiot is saying, listen, I jumped the gun. I shouldn't have. We should have really waited till the information came in, and I want to say that I care about the truth and so on. Kamala Harris today, now Newsmax, I'll give you this tweet, tweeted this out. This is from 5:23 p.m. today. So this is quite literally less than an hour ago. Like most of you, I've seen the reports about Jussie Smollett, and I'm sad, frustrated, and disappointed when anyone makes false claims to police. It not only diverts resources away from serious investigations, but it makes it more difficult for other victims of crime to come forward. I mean, she could have stopped there and still it's incomplete. Because I believe that she should be apologizing for saying it was a modern-day lynching. It's how disgusting that statement was. But instead of stopping there, she does this. At the same time, we must speak the truth. Hate crimes are on the rise in America. Just last year, the FBI released statistics that revealed a 17% increase in the number of hate crimes in America. Part of the tragedy of this situation is that it distracts from the truth and it has been seized by some who would like to dismiss and downplay the very real problems that we must address. We should not allow that. I will always condemn racism and homophobia. We must always confront hate directly. We must always seek justice. That is what I will keep fighting for. Is she on something? She actually took a fake hate crime, a lie, according to police, about being attacked and called racist and homophobic names. She actually took that and related it to real hate crimes? But, Senator, this one was fake. Why are you acting like it wasn't? So I had to respond. Carrie had to respond to her.
I know you did.
And you can follow me at Joe Talk Show, at Joe Talk Show. Carrie does. You like the cool kids.
I do.
At Kamala Harris, I don't see your apology here for the statement you made calling this an attempted modern-day lynching. You want to be taken seriously? Take responsibility for that disgusting allegation made with zero evidence to support it. Then hashtag Jussie Smollett. I'm so over it. The fact that these wannabe, you know, presidential people, these politicians need to deal in race and hate and racism and something of phobia and something ism, something ist. They need to deal in that. They think that's going to get them the high office. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I saw this at the gym, and it was closed captioning this morning. I think NBC was doing the same thing because they, you know, they dovetail, you know, the Jussie Smollett story with during the Obama years, hate crimes were down. They are now on the uptick, and that began when President Trump started campaigning for president.
Idiots. Idiots. Losers. That's a so-called news organization that has lost its way. It really has, because that's not what you're related to. How many hate crime hoaxes have been reported? Did they talk about that today?
I don't know. Not that I saw.
Of course not.
Not that I saw.
No, they talked about real hate crimes, so-called hate crimes, which is, again, a misnomer. Any crime out of malice is a hate crime. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Bottom of this hour, it's going to be Dr. Wilfred Riley. He's written a book about this topic. And you're going to want to hear what he has to say, because he's saying that the hoax hate crimes are the real problems. Hate Crime Hoax is the name of the book, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War. You're going to love hearing what he has to say at the bottom. 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Before your head hits the pillow, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I set your alarm.
All right, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS. JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Glad to have you. Dr. Wilfred Riley at the bottom of the hour about fake hoaxes. Again, the name of the book is Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War. And as I mentioned last hour, they need there to be a race war. They need there to be one. Polo, do me a favor, pan that camera to the right a little bit. I'd like to see Carrie right in the middle. Appreciate you. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to line three. It's going to be Mike in Kansas City. Mike, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, good to hear from you, Joe. Glad you... I've been listening to your show for quite a while now.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm going to talk about Jussie.
Yes.
I'll answer the question with about him and his what he should be charged with. But let me give you this. I love Joe Cocker. And here's one for you. No, I'm feeling all right.
All right, Mike, hold on a second. So, Carrie, what are we doing here? What are we doing with Mike?
I'm not sure. Wanted to sing a little
bit. Hey, look, we're going to move the camera. Now she's on camera. Let's do it. Yeah. Perfect. Excellent. I'm going to get a little monitor so you can see yourself in the middle. And we want you to be in the middle. Because if you're in the middle, then we both look like we're in the middle. If you're leaning to one side or the other, then you're leaning. I don't know.
Okay.
But again, we're just, once we do this on television, when it's live later on, this is just the rehearsal.
It's real. Yeah.
Then we'll wear, what?
Oh, this
we're on
is
now?
Real. Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to take Mike back. A couple of things are important. Did not ask Mike to sing, feeling all right. but I appreciate him joining in. Second thing, it's not Joe Cocker. It's Huey Lewis is the version that I use from the motion picture Duets. I like that version because it is the Joe Cocker arrangement, but there are horns in it. And in hour number three, I usually play Grand Funk Railroad doing the song. So let me go back to Mike. You want to talk about Jussie? Wanted to sing a little bit. And Sam, your comment was what on Mike?
Well, it's some people might think it's Friday. So
well, Mike actually has been on hold a long time. So I'm thinking maybe you grab a six pack,
drinky drink. Yeah.
Mike, can I ask you a question that people across the country want to know?
Sure.
Are you drunk right now?
No.
Okay, just asking. Okay, so if you want to, you can sing Feeling All Right, but that's the Huey Lewis version. But no, yeah, the Joe Cocker version is really good, too. He actually does it live. Joe Cocker does it live with horns.
I know. I saw him in Kansas City, his last concert in Kansas City before he passed away.
Yeah, I wish I'd have gone. All right, talk to me, my friend.
Great show. But Jesse Smollett, he should be charged with the maximum.
It's going to be Smollett. His last name is Smollett. I don't. Is Jesse Spalding in trouble, too?
Smollett. Sorry.
No, it's all right, Mike. We're having fun. Come on, we're having a good time today. What else?
That's cool. He should be charged with the maximum.
All right, Mike, we appreciate you. Look, Carrie, I tried.
I know.
I tried. I love Mike.
Twice, yeah.
Love Mike. Love. I just don't know that. I think Mike was just sort of hanging out. He's more laid back than I'm used to.
I think to take the
call during the show.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe when Mike calls back, I won't leave him on hold so long.
There you go. That could be it.
I'm going to take the blame on this one.
Yeah.
Mike might have grabbed the bourbon.
Yeah.
While holding. Let me go back at it. Say hi to Bruce in Boston. Bruce, what's going on? Hi.
Jose, can you see?
I can, my friend. What's happening?
Here's what I love you, man. And your daughter is so awesome.
She is unbelievable. Awesome. Yeah, she rocks.
But I want to know, my big question, Joe, is he going to go to the man's prison or the women's prison? Because he portrayed himself to be a tough guy fighting off his perpetrators.
Yeah.
So I think he should go to the man's prison, and they're going to have their way with him. And I want to hear it happen.
Bruce, we just got ratings in Boston like yesterday. We're doing great. You guys really are being very nice to us, and people really like the show.
Rock. Yeah. Are you kidding me, dude? I'm coming to Texas.
Okay.
Probably not right away, but I'm gonna make it there.
Okay.
I'm gonna bring some lobsters.
Why,
get a bib.
We'll probably get to Boston before you get to Texas. But Carrie, what is going on today?
I don't know.
What is going on today? Jesse Smollett will be going. If he's convicted, he'll go to the men's prison. He's a man. I don't know why he would go to the female prison. What's that, Polo?
He said for you to get a bib.
Oh, did he say get a bib because of all the lobster?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, he didn't say lobster. He said lobster.
You're going to
bring some lobster from Boston. All right, we love it. All right, let me go back to it and say hi to Carrie, who is in Austin. What's going on, Carrie? Hi.
Hey, good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
There's one thing about all of this that bothers me. You hear about hate crime, and they're always against Black or Hispanic or LGBTQABC, whatever.
Right.
Are there any hate crimes against straight white Christians?
Well, no, because straight white Christian men, and I guess the women too, probably deserve whatever they got, because they're just horrible people. So probably not.
That would in itself be racist.
Oh, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. And you're right. Thank you. Appreciate you. 100% right. The so-called hate crimes, generally speaking, are about some intersectionality group of people that somehow connected through their oppressed state or nature. And by definition, a white guy can't be the target of a hate crime. Although there is the off case here and there where somebody does suggest that when there is somebody who is who's attacked who happens to be white or whatever. But it seems to be much harder to prove. This was assumed to be a hate crime because of what he said happened. Of course, he was lying, allegedly, but that's what the assumption was. The assumption, I guess, against a white person would be that it's just a typical crime, and putting the word hate in front of it would be something hard to do. Steve, quickly for me in San Antonio. Let's go.
I'm piggybacking on the same thing. Fairly new listener to you. Love your show.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Thank you.
But this whole Kamala and everybody saying hate crimes, etc. Yeah, they've went up since Trump's come in office because more people are attacking people wearing MAGA hats or a Trump shirt for the sole purpose of they hate them for supporting Trump.
Yeah.
Right here in San Antonio at the Whataburger it happened. Yeah. Why isn't that a hate crime? Simple as that.
Well, Steve, it's a good question. I have to run, but I want to take that one and run with it. Carrie, did they call that a hate crime? The Whataburger one where the guy took the hat?
I don't know. I think they may have.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'll double check.
Yeah, let's check that during the break if you don't mind, because that's a really good point. That was a white teenager, I think. It might have even been a Hispanic teenager, but I think he was white. And the guy who did it was Hispanic, and he attacked him because of his political beliefs and took his hat and threw the soda in his face and everything else. So that's an interesting question. We'll check that out. When we come back, it's going to be Dr. Riley on his new book about hate crime hoaxes on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
The Barry Show.
Great radio. stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have Dr. Wilfred Riley on. He, of course, is a guy who's written a book that is so extremely timely. I mean, you're also a professor, right? Now, where's your college? Where do you teach?
I'm a professor of political science and also of counterintelligence at Kentucky State University.
Wow, those are two excellent things to be focused on. We have to get into that on the next one. But we have to talk about this because you wrote a book that is amazing in its timeliness. It is it's called Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War. And, Professor, we just talked about this a minute ago. I mean, are you that prescient that you wrote this book and then Smollett happened? Or are you so fast a writer that you heard the Smollett case and said, man, I got to do something about this? Fill me in. How did this happen?
I put it together in a day.
That's pretty excellent.
In all seriousness, this started a couple of years ago. I was a grad student in Chicago.
Okay.
And I'm a sports fan. I'm proud of my city. And for a bunch of reasons, I was following a couple of these hate crime stories. A student at the University of Chicago said that he was threatened with abuse and violence because he was Latino.
Yeah.
You had the University of Missouri, a whole series of hate crimes, some of which just sounded crazy. The Klan is on campus. That was alleged.
Yeah.
You had an incident at Gustavus Adolphus. You had an incident at Michigan Tech. I started following these cases, and I found out that all of them were fakes.
Wow.
And that prompted interest on my part, this idea of fake hate crime. There's been some great research about this in the past, and I think to some extent it's been very difficult to get it published in the mainstream press. Laird Wilcox produced a book, Crying Wolf, 15, 20 years back, discussed the same topic. He had to self-publish. I went with the conservative publisher, Regnery, and we were able to get the book done. But essentially, the core idea of the book is that I wasn't wrong when I thought it was funny that all of these five or these six cases collapsed.
Yeah.
A great many highly publicized hate crime allegations turn out to be fakes. Possibly most, I don't know if I'd go that far, quite a few.
Yeah.
So in recent years, we've seen the incredible Jussie Smollett case, which just concluded predictably. We've seen Covington Catholic a week before that. The allegation was that these private school athletes were just brutalizing this Native American elder.
Right.
Didn't happen. We've seen Air Force Academy. We've seen Eastern Michigan. We've seen Keehan College. We've seen Wisconsin Parkside. We've seen Drake University. It's horrible cases. A young black woman alleged that boorish white men urinated on her.
Just made up. Even from completely made up.
Yeah, they're all fakes. Duke Lacrosse, the UVA rape, Tawana Brawley, Azalea Cooley. I mean, this goes back decades. That a substantial percentage of major widely reported hate crime allegations just never happened.
It is Dr. Will Riley. He is again from University of actually Kentucky State University. Say University of Kentucky. Those are fighting words if I mix up the two. We appreciate you taking the time. The name of the book, and I want everyone to go and get this, Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War. Regnery is a great publisher. They also publish my friend Dinesh D'Souza. So I'm glad you have the book out there, and I hope that everybody will go and get it. Let's talk about the very ground floor of why people do this. What is the goal for a Jussie Smollett, who, by the way, I talked to Sheriff David Clark 2 days ago. He said, I knew it was fake when he said there was a noose. Anybody who says there's a noose involved in 2019 is probably making it up. But what is the hope here? What did he want to have happen? People would turn against the president. People would say, yes, we're racist and $65,000 a week for you. Acting in a show isn't enough money. What did he want to walk away with?
Well, I think that there are two motivations behind most of these stories that turn out to be fake. Now, obviously, there are real hate crimes against, for example, gay Americans, Jewish Americans very often. But in the large percentage of cases that turn out to be fake, you've got two motivators. One is the tawdry and personal. So Jussie Smollett, as you said, you obviously have a good background on this case.
Yeah.
He wanted to be retained on the show Empire.
Right.
They were getting ready to write his character off. A young male character is moving on to the next stage of his life. He wanted to keep his paycheck from the show, which, as I recall, is about 70 a week.
Yeah.
So that's just the human greed that's existed, avarice, for probably all time.
Right.
There is a unique American component to this, to these hoaxes, and especially these hoaxes when they're on the left, which is most of the time. And the line I used on Tucker Carlson was, in America, the demand for bigots greatly exceeds the supply. So this entire infrastructure of quote-unquote civil rights organizations, the Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL, they do some good work, CARE, MACHA, Rainbow Coalition, all of these receive substantial amounts of money. The SPLC's endowment, which is very well invested, is $432 million right now.
Stunning.
Receive substantial money based on the premise that the country is extremely racist. You don't need a group called Anti-Racist Action if there's not much racism and 20% of marriages are mixed, which is the reality. So when one of these incidents happens, I think the hoaxer knows that he's probably going to find allies. And I think that institutions, National Action Network, that have an interest in the continuation of the prejudice narrative, what I call the CON, the continuing oppression narrative,
right,
are immediately going to enter the fray and back the case and claim it's real. As you probably noticed, it was described as racist by many celebrities and legal figures just to question Jussie Smollett.
Right.
This is a guy who said, go on.
Well, I just wanted to jump in there. You don't know me from Adam, but I'm a former journalist. They did it for a really long time. I was very good at it. Robin Roberts is somebody that I've always looked up to and said, hey, she's really good at the job. Although I think she's political in her motivation sometimes, I think she does a pretty good job. She interviewed Jussie Smollett and looked at the viewers of Good Morning America and said, you need to believe him. He's credible. He's telling the truth. He should be believed. And then you can just go down the list. I mean, there's a list of Ellen Page and Ellen DeGeneres and Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. And when they're asked about it now, not only are they not backing away from it, I mean, Kamala Harris pretended she didn't know she sent a tweet. I mean, come on. So you're right. Immediately, this guy knew he was going to get allies. Not only did he get allies, he got people who, as you so eloquently said, would shut people like me down who said, wait a second, I was a journalist for a long time. I'm skeptical that in 11 below wind chill, somebody's carrying bleach and a noose around yelling MAGA at people who happen to act on the show Empire. It just didn't seem to be reality. Was there a time in our country when we wouldn't have been as skeptical as we are now? Like in 1965 or 70, would we automatically have assumed that what he was saying was true? And thank goodness today, yeah, we're not as racist a country, or we have more surveillance cameras. Was there a sea change, doctor, do you think, in your research that says we know they're not true today because something changed?
Yes, and you stole my line there, by
Sorry.
The way. I was going to say 1965 is okay. When we would have believed this.
Yeah.
1954. America does have a racist history, yes. Although if you look at Germany, China, our great rivals, almost all countries do.
Yeah.
But one of the astonishing things that's specifically American is that as America has changed, the activist left narrative hasn't changed at all. So the simple reality is that America desegregated, and at this point only the South was segregated, in 1954.
Right.
Civil Rights Act, 1965. Affirmative action, which didn't hurt me when I applied to law school, although I tried to use it as little as possible, 1967.
Right.
So the same institutions that fought the Klan and that won a glorious victory against the Klan still exist, but now they're fighting windmills. I think this is very important. I am center-right, but I'm not saying this just because I lean conservative.
Yeah.
This is a fact. Nowadays, David Clark, Sheriff Clark, is absolutely correct. If someone claims that they were attacked by four hooded men carrying nooses, it's a fake.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't occur. We don't have the Klan and the Panthers fighting in the streets of our major cities anymore.
Right.
It's not realistic.
So a guy who is of privilege, and by the way, I've got to make sure I get your name out there in the name of the book because I want everybody to go and get this. Hate Crime Hoax. The subtitle is How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War. His name is Dr. Wilfred Reilly, R-E-I-L-L-Y. Go and get this book right. Actually, can you pre-order it now because it's out next week, right?
Yeah. The book drops February 26th with Regnery/Regnery Salem. It's on Amazon right now. Earlier today, it was actually the number one ranked book in the African-American literature category. So apparently, from a variety of sources of location, there's some interest in the book being generated.
Well, is there something called the African-American literature? Really? So if I wrote a book, it would be the Italian guy book? I mean, I didn't know there we had clubs by... Is there?
We use a lot of hyphens in the States right now. I do think if you go to Amazon, and some of this is racial, some of it's just business categories,
right.
But there are 800 or 900 book subcategories. So
wow.
The book is ranked in the conservatism and liberalism only in America category,
okay.
And it's in black literature. So kind of funny, a lot of different things they do over there.
I never thought to myself, I got to get Riley's book. He's a black dude. I just never thought about that. But maybe that's just me, because I also am a right-leaner. It is Dr. Wilfred Reilly. The name of the book is Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War. You're right. All those organizations go away tomorrow if we, in fact, tell the truth that, yes, racism exists, and, yes, there are bigots, but the numbers are so minuscule. I heard a number of white supremacists, and this was on the high end, in this country of 330 million people, of about 200,000. 200,000 white supremacists exist, yet we live, and people like Jussie Smollett live, and people like Tawana Brawley and Al Sharpton and so on live, and the Duke Lacrosse lady live, in a world where people are going to believe me because everybody believes we're at least half racist.
Yeah. Well, that again, I think that this gets into issues of narrative creation, and I think we've kind of hit on what the issue is.
Yeah.
As the country has changed dramatically, the story on the activist left has remained pretty much the same. I do think now you're seeing a dangerous new trend over there, which is the redefinition of racism.
Yeah.
So you start, since about 2008, a couple influential books, you started hearing these new terms, cultural appropriation,
right.
White privilege, subtle racism, institutional racism. My favorite, which is polite or positive racism, is the idea that people are too nice to minorities. For example, not turning us down for dates because they don't want to be seen as racist. But that's racist, too.
Well, I don't know if you heard this story yesterday, Doctor. I'll leave you with this because this one just blew my mind. There's a guy yesterday who writes for a magazine called Out Magazine. It's some sort of a gay-oriented magazine or something.
Yes.
This guy actually said because the Trump administration would like to stop Iran and Saudi Arabia from killing homosexuals, he's actually perpetrating modern-day racism. Help me understand how anybody who writes for a gay advocacy group or magazine could be against not killing gay people in these Sharia law countries.
Because Trump suggested it. That's a glib response, but I think it's an accurate one. I do think there's a deeper issue, though. The new idea on the left is this idea of intersectionality, which is that the coalition on the left is to some extent a coalition of the fringes.
Yeah.
It is made up of groups that don't inherently have much in common, like gays and Muslims, feminists and transgender women,
right.
You know, hardworking union men and illegal immigrants. Who also work hard, but so on down the line. There's nothing connecting these groups except the idea that mainstream, mostly white, upper middle class society that looks like both of us, by the way, is oppressing everybody. That's the core idea in the left coalition. So how do you get to banning homosexuality or gay sex? How do you get the idea that opposing that is bad? You link it to the oppression of some other group in the intersectional coalition. I don't quite know how that link was made. I stopped reading the piece laughing after about a paragraph, speaking quite sincerely.
Right.
But the idea is that you can only speak on many of these issues if you're totally pure.
Right.
So as a feminist, things that would make absolute sense, like wanting to limit perhaps mass conservative male immigration from the Muslim world or advocating the ownership of guns, those can't be said because those negatively impact other members of the intersectional coalition.
Well, I agree with you. I got to run, Doctor, but we could do about 2 hours. I'll leave you with Martina Navratilova. Think about that. She's been an advocate for gay and lesbian issues for her entire career, even so much as to put her career on the line in the 70s or 80s when she admitted that she was out and gay. Now, if she says that people born male who have thicker bones and bigger muscle bodies shouldn't be competing against women, she suddenly hates everybody, including those people who are like she is. Last word on that.
I actually think that this, if you are a centrist or right wing or just a regular American, this in some ways is a positive development.
Okay.
What you're seeing is the growth of the intellectual dark web, where people that would define themselves as liberal in some classic sense. I favor basic tax regulations on markets, which I do myself, by the way.
Okay.
So Navratilova, Eric Weinstein, Dave Rubin, Joe Rogan, many, many black writers, John McWhorter are now saying, look, I'm not going to associate myself with all of this. You know, men are men, women are women, and I like the American Eagle. Like, there are basic things that make sense. And I think that's going to lead to a period of greater political stability,
Agreed. Hopefully. I agree.
And
listen, Doctor, we can do this again hopefully very, very soon. I want everybody to go and buy this book, Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War. His name is Dr. Wilfred Riley. Dr. Riley, thanks a million.
Thank you for having me.
Back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
Updating you with the news that matters, coming up at the top of the hour on News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show. We appreciate the doctor coming on. Hopefully you go and get that book. Just very, very lucky that he was writing a book on such an important topic right when this idiot goes and does what Chicago PD say that he went and did. Paula, do me a favor and give that story to Carrie if you haven't already, because I definitely want people to have an update on what's happening with Smollett today after he got let out of jail. We'll have that for you coming up. Meantime, I'm going to tell you about Super Beats. Super Beats is a great product. I use it in the morning. About a teaspoon is all it takes. It's made by human. It helps your cardiovascular system, helps your blood flow, your circulation. It's the right product to use to help increase your nitric oxide output. Our bodies make more when we're younger, less when we're older, so we get less energy as we get older. This is a miracle molecule that helps with all that stuff, your cardiovascular system, your blood flow, your blood pressure, all of it. And February is Heart Health Month, so you got to really make sure that you're checking and finding out what's going on with your cardiovascular system, okay? Do me a favor and try this today. You can try it risk-free for 90 days. The human's doing that deal for you because you listen to my program. Just go to joelovesmeats.com. Take advantage of this great offer. Plus, if you click right now, you get 30-day supply free with your first purchase. Super Meats is even going to pay for the shipping and handling. Go to joelovesmeats.com. Take advantage of this risk-free trial. The health of your heart is too important to ignore. 800-516-8389 or joelovesmeats.com. Do it right now. Karen, you can fill us in on what we just found out about where Jussie Smollett is.
From Yahoo, Jussie Smollett is back on the set of Empire in Chicago following his release from police custody on Thursday. Variety has learned Smollett was released after posting bail in Chicago after police charged him with staging what was originally reported as a hate crime last month. Fox has stood behind the actor for the most part, issuing multiple statements backing him as evidence grew that he had staged his own assault. Earlier on Thursday, though, the network released a new statement that said, in part, we are evaluating the situation and we are considering our options.
I mean, they're evaluating the situation as he's on the set?
I guess so. That's where he is right now.
Carrie, I forget. I'm getting forgetful. Was Roseanne back on her set after that tweet?
No, she was not.
Or was she fired and never allowed anywhere near the studio again?
Yes, that one. Yep. She was done.
You're saying answer B is what you're saying.
Answer B.
Double standard much? And again, here's Roseanne with a hit show making millions for the network. The spinoff has done nothing. It's a piece of garbage. That show is nothing without Roseanne. She makes an ill-advised tweet that she shouldn't have made, making a comparison that she shouldn't have made. She didn't know. I didn't know. Most of you didn't know. Valerie Jarrett's black. So it wasn't racist, even though it's being called racist. What this guy does actually caused him to be charged with a felony, and he's on the set today. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Yes, indeed. Great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Thursday. Feeling all right. Get a Newsmax TV. Where's Wayne? Wayne's off tonight. You're going to get the third hour of my show. Hope you don't mind. Along with Carrie and Polo and Sam. We're all getting it done for you.
Seems I got to have a change in
a little
scene.
Grand Funk Railroad for you.
Cause every night I have a strange.
Mark, Dom, and Mel in the day.
By the way things used to be.
We feel all right on Thursday because it's almost Friday. The weekend's almost here.
On my own, so it seems.
You know, Carrie, that Bernie Sanders just doesn't think that people should have a lot of money and we should be giving more money and having more food lines. It turns out he's got a lot of money. Isn't
he
that
does,
weird?
Apparently. How about that?
Here you go. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thank you. Also, there is a story out of Houston that has me thinking. It's one of those stories that parents want to hear and they want to talk about. And the question is, did he do something wrong or not? But I'm thinking yes, but then you hear the reasoning for it and you go, oh, it's one of those, isn't it, Carrie? It's kind of one of those.
I suppose so.
You sound pretty firm that it's not one of those, though. I mean, it sounds like...
Well,
no
I don't
he
think he should have done what he did. No, I mean, he's okay. Not helping his daughter now where he's at anymore.
Okay.
So,
We will talk about it, certainly. Jussie Smollett, for those who are wondering, is back on the set of Empire. Instead of firing him summarily because he was charged with a felony for reporting a false story. I guess, what is the actual charge is? Disrupting the something?
Well, I know it was filing a false charge? Police report.
Disorderly conduct. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess they're calling it disorderly conduct, and that's filing a false police report, mm-hmm. I guess, is disorderly. But, so that's the case, that's the story. It's a fourth degree felony or something?
Yes, or grade 4, level 4, something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah. And he's back on the set. $65,000 to $100,000 per episode, he's back on the set. And you can't really say, well, it's all about the money, isn't it? Well, no, because ABC had no problem dumping Roseanne, who was worth hundreds of millions of dollars to them. and her career ruined over one dumb tweet. Whereas this guy can allegedly make up a racist, homophobic attack by rednecks with ropes and bleach in the middle of the night in Chicago when the wind chill is at 11 below. And he's on the set. Did I mention he's on the set of Empire right now? I did mention that, did I not?
Yeah, you did.
He's there. He's working. Gonna earn his $65,000 to $100,000 today. Carrie, how great are some of these memes, though? Holy crap.
I've seen quite a lot of them today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
There's one with a crying Jesse serving Donald Trump through the McDonald's drive-thru. I think that was pretty good. Thought that was okay. But there's one where they took Al Cowlings out of the Bronco. They put Jesse driving the Bronco.
I've seen the one where he's in the same jail cell as Bill Cosby.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But, you know? And all of his former tweets are coming back to bite him, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yep.
Holy mackerel. It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. A lot of people wanted to be heard on that case. I'm going to wrap it up. I had a long interview last hour with Dr. Riley, who wrote a book about hate hoaxes or hoaxes of hate or something. What, hate crime hoaxes? I probably should just tell you the damn title. I've got people telling me that they went and ordered the book because they liked the interview so much. Let me give you the actual title. It's Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War. So well said. I can't wait to get the book. It's out a week from now, though. I got about 5 days. I got to wait 5 days, Carrie.
I know. Get all that.
Let me ask you this. Why can't I have the book before everybody else? I mean, isn't that SOP?
I know some people do that with you, but, you know, maybe you're not that special.
It's not some people. It's every person. Except for this guy. Maybe he should step up.
He's the exception, isn't he?
And if there's going to be a movie about it, I think I should be able to see the movie in the comfort of my own home. He's going to put it right out there.
Yeah.
You know why they do that, right?
Why?
Because they know where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Hermitville.
Yes. You wouldn't go out to see their movie at a movie theater, would you?
I'm not going to a damn theater. What's the matter with you? Yeah. It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We're going to move on to the story out of Houston. After this, because I really do want to know where people are on this. Maybe I'm wrong in assuming that there would be a diversity in opinion. I do think some people are going to take his side. Now, what he did clearly is wrong. But, you know, I think in this one there might be a but. Let me go to the phone lines, though, in the meantime. Say hi to Sheila. It's Sheila. Really? Is that how you pronounce it? Sheila? Oh, I didn't have you on. Go ahead.
Hello.
Is it Sheila?
I'm sorry, but it's Sheila.
Sheila. Okay, go ahead. What's happening? Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. This is all so biased and very sad. In view of what happened to Roseanne, I really feel that in Jesse Smollett's case, anything where he appears should be boycotted. I, for one, will do that.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Sheila, I've never seen anything that he's done. I think I saw the Mighty Ducks 20 years ago or something, or 30 years ago. But I'm not familiar with anything else that he does. But you will actively make sure you don't watch.
Oh, I won't. And I encourage everybody else I know not to do so.
Well, why exactly, in your opinion, would Fox TV let him back on set today? Wouldn't you send him an email saying you're not welcome here anymore?
Certainly. But people are afraid to do what's right.
In this case, how can they be afraid? I mean, he was charged. He was actually charged with a crime. What's the fear? I mean, if you stop him from coming on set or fire him or whatever, whoever has a problem with that isn't very smart, so you ignore them.
I don't know. Hollywood just goes about protecting those kind of people.
I hear you. All right. And again, it was pronounced Sheila. Is that what we were saying, Sam? Sheila? I think that's a great name. I just never seen that.
Sheila.
Okay.
That's a pretty name.
Very pretty. And I appreciate her calling in. Curtis is in California. Curtis, wrap this one up for me. What's going on?
How you doing, Joe?
Horrible, horrible, horribly loud connection. It's horrible. It's horrible, horrible how bad this connection is. Anyway, you can pick the phone up or you're driving down the road. You can't touch it.
All right. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah, I'll put you on all horrible. All right, Sam, talk to Curtis and see if we can't clear that up a little bit, because I don't think on TV and radio we want it to sound like that. That's just a little bit too rough. So grab that call and see if he can't put it in his face. Or in California, if you get in big trouble for doing that, I understand. Maybe we just move on. But I do appreciate him calling in. He's saying that did he fix it? All right, let's try.
Yes, he did.
All right, Curtis, I just want you to sound good. Go ahead.
Yes, Joe. Sorry about that.
That's all right, brother. Yeah, talk to me.
I just want to say, at the end of this entire saga,
Mr. Smollett will end up being a new liberal hero and a darling of the left again.
How's that possible? How's that possible? Yeah, tell me how that happens.
How that happens, and I'm surprised that the publicist hasn't gotten in his ear yet and done this already. Once he determines that there's no way out that he will be found guilty of this crime, he will put out a statement through a publicist saying that due to years of bigotry, homophobia, and racism, he had a mental break. And that mental break went over the top over the last 2 years due to the hostile environment President Trump has created. And he is now seeking treatment with a mental health professional.
Well, I did say he was going to go into rehab, but I think it's going to be drug rehab. I don't think you can make a good case that a rich young guy who's got the world by the tail is having a hard time in life because of Trump. I don't think he would get away with that. I think drug rehab would be more likely. But you live in California. Maybe you're onto something. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't think the Trump thing will be played up. I think it'll be the life experiences. And this allows him to get his victim card back. Because that's what the left is all about, is being a victim.
Yeah.
This allows him to get his victim card back. Everybody can feel sorry for him, and they can prop him up and say, well, it wasn't really his fault. It was all the things that surrounded him.
That might be an interesting plan, Curtis, but I don't think it would be effective, to be honest with you. I appreciate you. I don't think that would be effective, because the left in this country that was so ready and so willing to jump on this case and make it about something, you know, that what he said is verifiably true. It's a Me Too moment. He's a victim. He's a intersectional, blah, blah, blah. Now that we have this charge, now that so many people are pulling away from this, now that so much information has come out suggesting what really happened that night, people would, and again, I don't think they mind being idiotic half the time, but they would look so stupid that they would actually lose their income. People would stop watching them or listening to them or going to them for music or whatever if they dared pretend this guy somehow had a good reason for it or an acceptable reason for doing it. He doesn't. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about the story out of Houston. It involves a father being arrested because he says he defended his daughter, who's what, 12, Carrie?
12.
All right, so we'll have that for you. We come back. Your thoughts on that? And bottom of the hour will be campus reform. We talk about some nuttiness happening at Syracuse University today on the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Before your head hits the pillow, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I set your alarm.
Great to have you. Welcome to the program, the Joe Pag Show. I want to move away from this ridiculousness that is Jussie Smollett and Fox TV having him back on set. Polo found something else some other program is going to be on. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. About, I guess they are dropping something that he's involved in. But Carrie, I want to move on to this father in Houston. Please outline the story. And I want to open the phone lines only on this. I don't want to talk about Smollett anymore. I'm over it. Until tomorrow, I guess. But I want to take phone calls on this. Which is he 100% in the wrong? Is he kind of right? Do you understand why he did it? Should he face charges? Go ahead.
From MSN, a Texas father who was arrested over the weekend for assaulting his daughter's classmate claims he was just trying to protect her. James Peace, 37, told KHOU the boy was bullying his stepdaughter, 12-year-old Presley Rigney, which is why he stopped in on February 14th while he was driving her home from school. Peace allegedly jumped out of the car, began shouting at the boy and his friend who were walking home, then slapped one of them, threatened more violence, and drove away, according to police. The boy reported Peace the next day when he told the teacher he was afraid to go to lunch. The teacher then got school counsel and the school resource officer involved. Police tracked down surveillance footage of the incident and arrested Peace Monday, but he doesn't regret his decision. I wish it would have gone differently. Maybe I should have. You know, where is his parents at? I probably should have walked him home and talked to his parents, but I didn't like where his mouth was taking him. And like I said, if I wasn't intimidating him, then what were they doing to her every day? Presley told KHOU the boy had mocked her for having, quote, no chest and told her she looked like you're transgender. He also allegedly threw ice cream at her. I'm not going to walk around here and hurt no kids, Peace said. I never have before in my life. It's just that I defend my kids. If it was ever the same way, I would check my own kids in front of you if I needed to right then and there. And Peace was charged with injury to a child under 15 and released on $15,000 bond.
All right, so let's break this story down. Let's assume that everything that you just read in that story is true. That He smacked some 12-year-old. Do we say, do they smack him in the ass, smack him in the face? Do we know what he did?
No.
I mean, so they legally slapped it doesn't make any difference. I'm just wondering.
I'm assuming slapped the face, but it doesn't say.
So, I mean, obviously, it's against the law what he did. He actually admits that he did it and says, I'm okay with doing it. So whatever penalty comes, penalty will come. But he's allegedly, and again, I'm going to assume that everything in the story is true. He's calling his 12-year-old daughter flat-chested, or she's transgender, throws ice cream at her, whatever. I mean, the proper steps, obviously, are to go to the administration. The proper steps are, obviously, to say, hey, I thought we were an anti-bullying school. What's going on? Why is anybody doing anything about this? And what he actually did by smacking the kid was he made the kid the victim, who's now, I can't go to lunch anymore, and now everybody's in trouble. But, I mean, should he get the book thrown at him? When you walk up to the kid, and let's say he says, hey, you bullying my daughter, leave her alone. The kid says, hey, go F yourself. Or maybe something else. Because he says he didn't like, what did he say? He didn't like the direction of what he was saying?
He didn't like how his mouth was taking him or
something like that.
He didn't like where his mouth was taking him, yeah.
Okay. So, and again, 100% by the law, you don't have the right to go smack some kid. I get it. But let me add something that isn't in the story. Because as it is, obviously what he did is against the law. I understand why maybe emotions got in the way. I understand why he's upset. I've got five daughters. I get it. He should not have put his hands in somebody else's kid. But let's say he shows up and the kid's hitting his daughter. Can he step in then? Can he do something then? Can he smack the kid to make him stop? I'm not saying the kid did this. But I'm just wondering, if that step had happened, would that have been, Carrie, would that be okay for an adult to step in and make it stop?
If somebody were hitting your kid...
Actually hitting your child in front of you.
Had to hit him in order to get him to stop.
You got him there to make him stop, right.
Then I guess I can understand that. Not that happened in this story, but...
Right. I'm just wondering, at what point can an adult do something to stop violence, to stop some sort of angst that's going on with their child? I don't know. I mean, in this case, again, it seems to be cut and dried. But if we added some other stuff that maybe didn't happen... You know, at one point, if you go, I go to school, I've got a meeting with a counselor, and I look out in the hall, and my daughter's getting her ass kicked by somebody. Can I go out there and stop it? I think I can.
I would, yeah. Could you get in trouble for it?
I don't know.
Yes, but I still would.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think you should be able to get in trouble if you're breaking up a fight.
You know how things happen today.
It's true.
So.
Like 50 years ago, would we even be hearing about the story?
No, no.
Because 50 years ago, I think society said, no, the neighborhood's going to raise your ass, and you're not going to act like that. Mm-hmm. It's all very interesting. Let me go to the phone lines and see what people think about this. It sounds like it's cut and dried. Sounds like it's a simple one. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. It sounds like, you know, and this guy's like, yeah, whatever. Charge me. I'm fine. I'm glad I did it. Basically, he's saying, I'm glad I did it. I'd probably do it again. Yeah, could I have gone home with him? You know, and again, maybe not even approach the parents. He probably should do it through the school first and then allow that process to happen. But if the school doesn't give you any satisfaction, you go to the parents. Parents are going to say, shut up. So what do you do? Because we hear all this stuff about anti-bullying, all this stuff about looking out for people, and this child obviously is telling her parents that she's going through a really tough time at school. Mike is in Washington. Mike, what do you think?
Hi, Mike. I mean, Joe.
You be Mike. I'll be Joe. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been a teacher for 26 years.
Yeah.
And I see this like four or five times a day in my classroom. Okay. Education, the administrators don't want anything to put a bad deal against the school district and stuff and all this. The man was wrong for hitting the kid.
Right.
But I'll guarantee you that boy was mouthing off to the adult, to him big time. I'll guarantee it. There's certain kids nowadays that have no respect for adults. It's just crazy.
Well, I'm with you, I've seen that, and I've heard a lot of people who are in your industry, who are teachers, who are administrators, who are superintendents, who say, yeah, these children just don't have any discipline anymore. I mean, again, you definitely cannot go up and hit the kid. So, I mean, he's going to pay the price, whatever that price ends up being. I think perhaps you look at leniency. If this kid is a bully, the last thing I want to see is somebody get away with being a bully, being horrible, being a mean person, and now he's the victim, and, you know, that's it. But you definitely don't touch the child. You definitely don't raise a finger. There are proper, you know, avenues through which you go. Listen, I don't have a ton of time, but Eric, make it fast in California. Less than a minute. Go.
Hey, Joe. I would say you need to get in touch with that kid's parents. I mean, no matter how much you want to go after the kid, you still need to take it up with the parents.
Yeah. No, I agree, but how severe should his punishment be? Is it understandable or not?
I would say, you know, he needs to be punished. I don't know if there's any way out of it.
All right. I appreciate it. I mean, I'm thinking maybe you go to some anger management. Maybe you do a little bit of probation. I don't see some big assault and battery thing, although you don't raise your hand. I get it. But I think there are circumstances here that should be considered. Not letting them off the hook, but I think they should be considered before any sort of a punishment goes in. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. My interview with Campus Reform. We come back. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Perry Show.
Stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also Newsmax TV, it's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have from campusreform.org, and make sure you go there every day like I do. It's Justine Murray. And Justine, first time I've had you on. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You're a student at Syracuse University, of course, in cold mid-upper tier New York. What's the weather in Syracuse today? Is it like freezing? Is there snow everywhere? What's the story?
Well, yesterday it was really icy, and today the ice has kind of dissipated. It's still freezing,
yeah.
But that's all the time up here.
I got you. And Syracuse is a great community. If you want to follow her, by the way, it's Justine_Brooke, B-R-O-O-K-E, on Twitter. I just followed you just now. I noticed you haven't followed me back, but I'm sure you'll fix that.
I will.
Okay, good. The fact that you're there is interesting today because Jim Boeheim, of course, the longtime, decades and decades head coach for the Syracuse University Orange, and he's won national championships there, was making news today. I actually feared for him because when you trend on Twitter, either you died or something really bad happened. And it turns out something really bad did happen. He was in some sort of an accident. What do you know from the campus there? Before we get into the campus reform stuff, what do you know about that?
Right. So I actually just saw the statement released by the chancellor. He emailed everybody telling us all that Jim Boeheim ran over a pedestrian. I also looked on our local news station, and apparently this pedestrian, his car either broke down or something happened with his. Yeah. Something happened with his car, and he had to get out and check something out. He ended up standing in the middle of this highway. And Jim Boeheim, it's been reported that he tried to kind of swerve out of the way so he wouldn't hit this man. Unfortunately, he hit him.
And you've heard from both the family, from the Boeheims, and from the family of the victim. Everybody obviously extremely upset. But they're calling it just a tragic accident at this point, right?
Right.
Well,
that's what I'm getting.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you filling us in. And again, I mean, anytime something happens in Syracuse, it's such a high-profile university. And with Jim Boeheim attached, I just want to make sure that we get that out front. You said the local newscasters, they're there on campus today collecting information and stuff?
Yep, Channel 9 right now is on our campus. They're interviewing people, and they're the ones collecting information.
Well, I appreciate you updating us on that. It's Justine Murray. Go and follow her on Twitter, campusreform.org. This is the website that I go to every morning where these great young correspondents on college campuses are uncovering the nuttiness that's going on at our universities and colleges. Let's talk about what's happening there at Syracuse. Anti-Israel internship turns out gets you credit. I'm sorry. Help me out with this one.
Right. So there's an organization here called the Syracuse Peace Council, and it's off campus. It's an organization in the community, and they call themselves an anti-war social activism organization.
Okay.
They have a committee called Justice for Palestine, where a bunch of these BDS activists who are part of the council try to promote the boycott, divest, and sanctions movement against Israel. So a few weeks ago, they had an event called Palestine Behind the Wall, and I went undercover and did some interviews with the people who are part of this peace council. Someone expressed their support for Hamas, an internationally recognized terrorist organization.
Yeah.
And then other people said that Zionism has to end. They also said that other people committing violence against Zionists, that is okay in some circumstances. So this group, Syracuse University will offer internships to students who they will offer credit for students who intern for this group in two majors, the citizenship and civic engagement major and the writing and rhetorical studies major.
Wow. Now, just wondering, Justine, Syracuse University, as I know, is a publicly funded university, is it not? It's not private, is it?
It is a private university.
So there's no public funds coming in at all, so they can have stuff like let's support Hamas and give credit for that?
They have, since it's a private university, they have a lot of more leeway to do this type of stuff. Yeah. And a lot of alumni have complained to the university. They do rely off of alumni and funding from parents and donations. So they can still get in trouble for this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And when this story came out, when I read about it for Campus Reform, the vice chancellor submitted a statement 2 days ago, basically, and I actually have it right here.
Great.
Printed it out.
They're very nice. Okay, what are they saying? Are they backing away from this at all or not?
So they put a lot of fluff in this statement. They say the university is aware of media reports about students receiving credits for internships with the Peace Council, and they denounce anti-Israel activity. They say, we do not support the boycott, divest, and sanctions movement. Yet, they talk about, we made clear that we have supported and we encourage discussion and debate and academic freedom. So therefore, they will not make clear or even say whether they will stop permitting internship credits to go to these students.
And they don't appear to deny it either. Look, it's definitely happening, or else they would have said it's not happening.
Right. So they try to brush that down a little bit. They said, oh, well, we haven't had students intern for this organization since 2014, and those were only two students. Well, a professor actually told me she knows a student who interned for this organization just last fall.
Wow. It is Justine Murray. Go and follow her, Justine underscore Brook, B-R-O-O-K-E, over on Twitter. CampusReform.org, this is where she's a correspondent. She is right now at Syracuse University. By the way, you're never going to be able to go undercover and sneak into a group again. You have a very unique look. There's no way you're going to get away with that again. So hopefully it was good enough that time, because there's no way. All right, also at Syracuse, the U.S. Constitution, it turns out, is exclusionary to some students. Now, I might be an idiot, and you haven't made that decision yet, but you'll find soon enough that I am. But everybody in this country is actually, they actually live under the guise of our Constitution. That's the foundation. There is nobody who is excluded from our Constitution if you go to school at Syracuse University. What is this all about?
Well, it's anti-American, and that's what it is. It started with, we tried to create the Young Americans for Freedom chapter at Syracuse University. Okay. Now, in our mission statement, we copied the Sharon statement as expressed on the National Parent Organization, the Young Americas Foundation. And basically, we recognize the U.S. Constitution as an important document, but they said recognizing the Constitution is exclusionary to international students and other students who might not necessarily agree with the Constitution.
I want to stop you because, Justine, as you know, it doesn't matter if they agree with the Constitution. If they're going to school here, they're under it. Just like if I go to Saudi Arabia, I've got to follow their Sharia law, whether I like it or not. So if I don't want to do that, I don't go there. They really wanted to make the case or tried to make the case that our Constitution excludes people if they came here internationally. Do they not realize that they're here? It doesn't matter where they're from. They're here.
Right. When you're in a country, America or another country, you adhere to the laws of the country. But, I mean, I guess they just don't see that, or they want to ignore that. Interestingly, a lot of international students come to universities like this because of the freedoms and opportunities provided by the Constitution.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, they're going to hold that flame and say, no, this is exclusionary. Our founding document that actually sets up the supreme laws of this land, they shouldn't apply to international students? I mean, are people really that dumb that they believe that?
I mean, actually, I think that's a little bit discriminatory to international students by saying, well, we don't want to assume that they're going to...
I agree.
I also find it pretty contradictory because the Newhouse School of Communications on our campus has the First Amendment printed in big letters all over the building. And the communication school brags about how they uphold the values of the First Amendment. They uphold the values of free speech.
Right.
But apparently they don't when chapters like Young Americans for Freedom want to come on our campus. And I actually think this is a double standard where, okay, the school is not stopping the Syracuse Peace Council and a blatantly anti-Israel organization. They're not stopping students receiving credits from that organization, yet they will go out of their way to shut down any conservative group or conservative speech on campus.
I think you made an important point. I agree with you. The international students know they're coming to the land of the free, the home of the brave. They know they're coming to a place that is covered by the Constitution, which means even if you came from a land of Sharia law, that's incompatible with our Constitution. You get freedoms and liberties here that you wouldn't have at home even. I think that it does denigrate the students, and it also makes the people who are saying it look like a bunch of idiots. It's Justine Murray, Justine_Brooke over on Twitter, campusreform.org. She's a great correspondent there. Last one, I've got about a minute or so. Conservative students dared say build that wall or build the wall. What happened to them?
Right. So actually, Tyler Toomey, a conservative student from the University of Oswego, he was part of this Young Americans for Freedom chapter over there. So when they had a display that said build a wall on their sign, they got a bunch of these death threats on Twitter and on other social media platforms, violent threats. And they contacted the school from what they've told me and from what I've read on campus reform. The school, they helped out a little bit, but you know, they took a while to really get back to them. And the big issue here is that violence is considered okay now. Yep. If you hold beliefs that are different from the political norm on college campuses, violence is okay. And these administrators, they will overlook violent threats towards students who are conservatives. Yet, if this was any other minority or any other group on campus receiving these threats, whoever was sending those threats, they would be immediately kicked out of the school. They would be prosecuted, and it would be a big deal.
It's not a big deal because they dare have an opinion on the opposing side to most professors and most schools. Justine, really appreciate you. Glad to have you on for the first time. Go and follow her at Justine, her first name, _Brooke on Twitter. Also follow at Campus Reform on Twitter. Love going to the website every day. Great job today. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. Thanks a lot for stopping by. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We've got calls on the hold, or on hold, not the hold. The hold would be something different, but calls on hold to talk about the father in Houston that allegedly smacked a kid, a 12-year-old, that was bullying his daughter. He's facing charges. He's out on $15,000 bond, whatever. I get it. It's against the law. What do you do? Do you go lenient with the guy because, hey, he's bullying his daughter. He's defending his family. I got a text from my friend Gary in the meantime, who grew up in Brooklyn. He said, everybody's parents smacked you around if you acted like an idiot. Gary, where you grew up, was it like that at all? I mean, where I grew up, it was kind of like that, too. Either they were going to tell your parents on you or they might whip you themselves.
Exactly. It was the parents against the kids, not like it is now.
Right.
No. No,
now it's the kids, it's so, you know, parents against
different.
The parents. It's all
the teachers.
It's all very weird.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Exactly
different.
Right. So, we'll take a couple of calls on that before we hit some pop culture. And there's more Jussie Smollett news. You knew there would be. But let me talk about ExpressVPN. If you're online, and you are, everybody's online these days. It's not like it used to be where some people had the internet. Someday, everybody's got the internet now. And most of us have high speed internet. You're being tracked by your ISP, by the websites that you stop at. You're being tracked just about everywhere you go because they want to advertise to you. They want to make money off of you. So what they do is they check and see where you frequent. You're looking at that underwear? I'll try to sell you some underwear. You're looking at that car? I'll try to sell you some cars. And your ISP will sell your information without you even knowing it sometimes. You've got to protect yourself from that. Protect your IP address. That's your individual address online by getting ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN, it costs less than $7 a month. It's the number one VPN service as rated by TechRadar. And it comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity right now. And because you listen to my program, go to expressvpn.com/pags. That's ExpressVPN.com/pags for 3 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/pags right now. Get it done. Let me go to the phone lines in the time that we have remaining. There's not a ton of time, but I do want to hear from you, as a lot of people are kind of up in arms about this Houston story. It's pretty interesting. Let me say hi to Scott, who's in Tulsa. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Living a dream, man. What's happening?
Not much. I, for one, I think the guy did, you know, nothing out of line. I actually have a 7-week-old. He turned 7 weeks old today. And
good for you.
And I'm looking back at past events. I'm just going to throw some names out there and kind of tell you their story. Ty Smalley was 11 years old, who shot himself in the head after being bullied nonstop. He was actually suspended for 3 days. His bully was suspended for 1 day. Ty went home and shot himself in the head with a .22 caliber pistol. Another famous one is Amanda Todd up in Canada, who hung herself because of constant not only bullying in school but cyberbullying. And all these a lot of these stories are told in a documentary made in 2011 called Bully.
Right.
But I said all that to say that, you know, the administrators and the teachers, counselors, principals, they can be told that, you know, hey, this is going on, but the policy of schools are, if we see it, then it's happening. If they don't see it, they can't do anything about it.
Well, that's a problem. And I think that we have to empower our kids to make sure that they report it and that an investigation is done by the school. The parents should be working with the schools. The parents of the bully and of the kid who's being victimized should be able to be in contact and work together to stop it from happening. You're right. There are a lot of cases now that are documented where kids are taking their own lives because of bullying in school.
I agree.
And growing up, I mean, I'm probably older than you are if you've got a 7-week-old. And congratulations, by the way.
But, yeah,
27. Yeah, oh, okay. And, you know, I'm 52, but I've got 5 children. And the youngest is 4. At the end of the day, what we have to do as a society is look out like they looked out when I was a kid. And it really did have a lot to do. Scott, thank you. It did have a lot to do with parents stepping in, like Gary, you know, in his neighborhood, or Carrie in her neighborhood, in my neighborhood, where you knew the parents were going to at least tell on you, if not take some action. You know, you were doing something out of line for the neighborhood. But that standard has changed. So now the kid can get away with just about anything. Can say anything, can do anything. And as the caller says, if it's not actually viewed by, seen by, witnessed by somebody in the school, both parties will be suspended. And like he said, the one kid who was being bullied got 3 days out. The kid who was the bully, allegedly, got a day. And then the bullied kid ends up killing himself. We don't want anything like that, but we also don't want parents walking around smacking kids around. So, Carrie, remind me, we'll bring the story up again as we follow it to see what his punishment will be.
Got it.
Because I think a lot of people want to be heard on this, and I'm just about out of time. Let's do some pop culture. Hurry up. Dirty pop. Yo. Hi, Paula, make it happen. What's going on? You've got more Jussie Smollett news, right?
Right. So when earlier you had said that he was on the Empire set, TMZ is reporting that while he was there, he was telling everyone he was sorry, that he's put everyone through this, that he had to answer anybody's calls, that he wanted to let them know that he would never do this to anyone. You're my family. I swear to God, I didn't do this. So he's sticking to that he's doing
something wrong with the guy.
Yeah.
But also, isn't there some lip sync contest or something that they're going to drop now?
Yeah, he was on this show called Drop the Mic on TNT. And on this particular episode, he was going up against some actress from Orange is the New Black. And I guess while he was doing his little rap battle back and forth, he mentioned President Trump and about, you know, being orange or whatever. So
yeah, now they're dropping it.
They're dropping it.
All right, got to go for Polo, for Carrie, for Sam. It's Joe Pags. See you back here tomorrow, same time, same place.